Turn to the back of your bulletin, if you will, please. And Laura's going to assist me up here. She will be leading the part that says the people. And you follow with her. You read aloud, if you will. We're reading from 1 Corinthians 13, one that we often call the love chapter. So if you will, join me. And then we'll all read together the final verse. It's in a little bit darker type. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned so I may boast, but have no love, it profits me nothing.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up.
Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth.
Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known.
And now abide faith, hope, love, these three.
But the greatest of these is love.
May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of all of us hearing each other. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Well, one evidence of growing maturity, not the only one, but surely one evidence of growing maturity is when we come to the place where the focus of our question is not to ask, what did he do, but why did he do it? In other words, we're then seeking the motive behind a person's actions. Because you see, the motive behind a deed, why someone has done something, is a vital factor in judging the deed itself. For instance, the court system differentiates between murder without malice and premeditated murder. Both of those, of course, are dreadful, dreadful sins. But a crime that is planned by a scheming, malicious person is far more serious than a crime of impulse or passion motivated by some sudden provocation. So the reason I would suggest that this concept, asking why did somebody do something, why did I do something, this concept is a sign of a maturing person is because that's God's way. We human beings are swift to look at the outward appearances, but God looks right to the heart. Or again, look at it this way. People look at the gift. God looks behind the gift at the motivation and commitment of the giver. It is the motive that counts. And the Apostle Paul gives us the Word of God as he wrote it to the Corinthian Christians, saying that the motive for all we do must be love. Actually, this is where our language of English gets in our way just a little bit. You see, in the English language, the word love can mean several different things, all the way from a very selfish motive to the other end of the spectrum of meaning the whole giving of self or unconditional love that is the image of God's kind of love. You know, we just say, I love my dog, or I love hot dogs, or let us love one another, all using that same word, love. However, and I'm sure you've heard me say this a few times, the Greek language of Paul's writing, the language of the New Testament, has several different words for the love idea. And each one of them suggests a different motive, a different why. There's eros, the physical or self-thinking or self-centered love. And then all the way down that spectrum to agape, the unconditional kind of the love of God. So we will identify right away that Paul's word about love in this 13th chapter is only the word agape. That's all he's talking about. He's not talking about all those other kinds of love. And so for the sake of what kind of love we equate with God's kind of love, this morning I'm going to refer to it as Christian love. Christian love being agape. Now, there are lots of great attributes that you can identify in the Christian life. And some of them stand out as pretty much unique to the Christian life. That is, even though you may see or identify some nuances of a word or this characteristic in non-Christians, the way they're expressed or lived out in the Christian life would be distinctly different than the lifestyle and the beliefs of non-Christians. For instance, faith. People have faith in all kinds of things. Faith in money, faith in one's spouse, faith in my car to get me from point A to point B. But in the Christian life, when we speak of faith, it is characteristically about faith in God. And in the Christian life, faith is one of the major attributes of a Christian, spoken of and lauded throughout the New Testament. You've read, and I'm sure you remember all of these, from the writings of Paul, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2nd chapter. And for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's in Galatians 3. And from the author of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11. And from the Apostle John, here is the patience and the faith of the saints, in Revelation 13. And the words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. 17th chapter of Matthew. Well, these are a few of the more than 300 references to faith in the New Testament. Faith is spoken of 38 times in the book of Romans, 38 times in Hebrews, 24 times in 1 Timothy. So we'd have to say faith is a huge concept for the Christian life. Is it the big one? Well, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13 that Christian love is greater than faith in verse 2 that you all read. He says that a person who has faith without love is nothing. And then in the closing verse of this great chapter, Paul tells us about three great attitudes of the Christian life and writes, the greatest of these is love. And this is the way the Apostle Paul writes the word love. So follow me if you can. I'm going to speak a little Greek to you. Now abide pistis, faith, elpis, hope, and agape, love. Ho houtos tres, these three. De megas houtos ho, but the greatest of these is agape, love. That's God's kind of love. You know, one can believe that Jesus was the Christ and yet not have Christian love. The Bible tells us that even demons believe and tremble. And of course, they are devoid of love. In one section of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23, Jesus pictures a professing believer standing before Christ, the heavenly judge. And this person reminds the Lord that while on earth, he had done this. In your name, I drove out demons, and in your name performed many miracles. The Lord, nonetheless, pronounces to the reminding person this chilling judgment. I never knew you. It's possible to profess Jesus with our lips and have a humanistic faith that will remove mountains of difficulties, yet still not have the love of Christ, the agape, in our hearts. Christian love is also greater than philanthropy. Verse 3, you may bestow all your goods to feed the poor. But unless love is the motivating incentive, it profits you nothing. You see, it's possible to feed the poor, well, like just flinging a bone to a dog. That is, it is possible to give another person, to give to their physical needs in such a way as to actually denigrate an even more important need of that person, the need all have for a sense of dignity, of human dignity. Or in this day of relative prosperity, it is easier for most of us to give a check than to give ourselves in some kind of loving service. Some philanthropic foundations are set up as magnanimous enterprises with no deeper motivation than a convenient, even profitable tax deduction. Or this, some church people feel they should tithe for no reason other than they have a legalistic sense of duty. I clearly remember in a former church that I pastored, there was a man who brought me a few dollars of donation about 3 or 4 times over the several years that I was there. And he always said, I've come to pay my tithe. I always wished he would come and attend the church services and become involved in the work of the church, but he never did. He just paid his tithe. Sense of duty. There was a woman who rides frequently on my senior adult van. And about twice a year, she gives me a $10 bill after one of her shopping trips, and she says, this is for your church. But she's never once accepted my invitation to come to Bosquedale. And by the way, she attends no other church either. And I don't wish to pass judgment. That is of God. But we see that some people give only to be seen of men. They have their reward. Shallow, naive people are impressed. But for all we know from Scripture, that giver's money is not an acceptable offering to God because it lacks the motivation of love. So, far more important than the amount of the church bank deposit on Monday morning is the commitment and the motivation of the people who gave their money on Sunday morning. Philanthropy appears to most to be a great motive, but greater far is the motive of real Christian love that is behind any gift to help others. And it's not too terribly hard for almost anyone to be a philanthropist, even a minimal one. But how about giving your life? I'd venture to say almost all would quickly respond, to give your life for another would be the ultimate gift. Yet Paul's inspired word of Scripture to us is that Christian love is indeed greater than martyrdom. We've seen that giving of our possessions without Christian love behind the gift is really of no profit in our standing with God. Now, even the giving of our life without Christian love profits us nothing. But is it possible to give one's body and martyrdom without love? Well, young women and men of the military, for instance, sometimes die for their country for reasons other than the love of God. And of course, it's very difficult to be critical of that. Yet, what is profitable before God is only to give one's life out of Christian love. And of course, many of the military have indeed done that over the centuries of our country. Love is what prompted Christ to give his life for sinful humans. And love is the only justifiable reason for giving our lives in martyrdom. Paul wrote, verse 3, "Though I give my body to be burned so that I may boast, but have not love, it profits me nothing." You know, many Christian workers give their bodies to be burned out, simply in activism and busyness in the Lord's work. Maybe it's a better idea not to burn out. There are times when the most religious thing the church worker, even the pastor, could do is to rest. Jesus set the example. Occasionally he went aside to rest. You've probably heard the statement, usually spoken very piously, "I would rather burn out than to rust out." But we all know that a good engine does neither. A good engine wears out. To burn oneself out prematurely may be prompted by escapism or a personal sense of insecurity or even the distorted desire to achieve glory through a kind of martyrdom. You know, I guess I have found myself going to 1 Corinthians 13 most often in the past years when I've been involved in marriages in the church. Some on the back row might remember 1 Corinthians 13 from their marriage ceremonies. Sort of makes sense. Marriage is so much about love and how a couple lives it out to have a successful marriage. But actually, I've worked on the concept of Christian love at many other times also. And I have to say that preparing this message was a good reminder to me that Christian love is about all of our relationships, and especially our relationship with God. And that love is more about the why we do than the what we do. It's about our motivations. Christian love, agape, greater than faith, greater than philanthropy, greater than martyrdom. Love is the supreme gift of God. When love is absent, what we do amounts to, it's right there in 1 Corinthians, amounts to nothing. But when love is the motivating factor, the only why in what we are, what we do, what we say, what we give, and our light will so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. He loves that. And amen. Thank you. And amen.